first time Death meets Noel Samuelson is in the sunny backyard of the boys' family home. Noel looks up at Death with tears in his pale blue eyes. He's holding Bozo, the old grey muzzled terrier. "He won't wake up," the boy says. His voice is very small. "No," Death replies, "he won't." Death doesn't talk to many people. Death exists in those moments of stillness that mark the ending of a life, and it's quite rare for someone living to make an appearance. Sometimes Death thinks it might be nice if it happened a little more often. The boy starts to sob hard, his little body shaking, and Death pulls their robe up above their knobbly knees and squats down on the grass. They reach out to the dog, but stop short of touching him with their thin grey fingers. Bozo, 13 years, 2 months and 16 days, died of an aneurysm while dreaming of barking at a flock of geese, Death says. Death knows about endings. They look at Noel, but Noel does not seem to have heard through all the tears. "It was a good way to die," Death says. "He was such a good dog," Noel says without looking up. Death does not know about that. They don't know anything about life or the living. Instead of replying, they reach out again, and this time they touch the dog. Pet the dog, really, stroking the back of Bozo's neck softly. A soft light appears and coalesces into a small shape, a patchwork of thin metal pieces like tin welded together into a stylized heart. There is a small key sticking out of it, a toy key almost, but one that looks dull and worn. Both of these things are new to Death, but the key feels familiar. Death pulls it out. In it, they can feel the end of Bozo. There is an echo of geese, an excited barking, and then a large amount of nothing. Noel stares at Death and at the heart. "He is dead," Death says, and because the key is something moulded by Noel's presence, his key has stopped turning. Death stands up and brushes their robes down absently. This frozen image of the backyard is fading, and it is time for Noel to fade as well, back into life, whatever that is. The second time Death meets Noel Samuelson, Death is almost pleased. Something about the blue-eyed boy has gotten under Death's skin. It itches. Now the boy is a blue-eyed man. Death looks up from the bicycle and the young woman in the street to see Noel standing on the sidewalk. Noel steps gingerly forwards, no doubt unaware he is now outside of his life and not really in the street at all. There is blood on the asphalt, but it does not flow in this snapshot that is a life ended. Noel stops at the edge of the unmoving redness. "Hello again," he says. "I wondered if you were real, with Bozo." He looks down at the unmoving cyclist, his face a little pale. "I didn't see what happened to her." Death looks down as well. "Her name was Michelle. It wasn't her fault. The driver didn't notice the red light." They pause, and then, because they are not great at conversation, 23, 3 months and 19 days. "Oh," says Noel, "are you going to do the key thing again?" It is not common for someone to fall into another's moment of death, and Noel has done it twice now. Death cannot recall that happening before. But Michelle's moment needs to be dealt with, and Noel is watching with interest. Death bends down and places two of their long, too thin fingers on Michelle's cheek. The light coalesces and a small tinny heart appears. This one is a little more dented than Bozo's, but essentially the same. A little key has appeared as well, and Death plucks it from the heart. There is the sound of car tires and screaming and a flash of panic, and then nothing, like always. "It must be hard doing this all the time," Noel says quietly. Death thinks of all that nothing. There has been quite a lot of it. "Why a tin heart?" Noel asks. Death shrugs. "You see what you see. Usually they deal in impressions, in the abstract, when there is no mortal about. Death only sees the heart and the key, because Noel does. It is the key that is important," they continue. "I only deal in endings, and the key holds the ending." Death can feel that. "Then why is there a heart?" Death does not answer. This moment is over. It was nice to have someone to share it with, but there is work to do. Yet, as the frozen stillness of the ending fades and Noel begins to fade as well, Death realizes what that itch is about. They turn back. "I can't see your end," Death says. They know Noel's name, but nothing else. That has never happened before. But Noel has already gone, and all that is left is the useless heart sitting on the road. The third time Death meets Noel, Noel is sitting in a hard plastic chair, his wrinkled, age-spotted hands clasped tightly in front of him. Next to him, in bed, is a small woman with white frizzy hair, Irene Samuelson, 72, 1 month and 3 days, multiple organ failure due to late-stage pancreatic cancer. Noel looks up and gives Death a tiny, shaky smile. "I thought I might see you," he says. His voice is small, like it was the first time they met. Death has been thinking about Noel. Death wonders if they have maybe pulled Noel into this moment with all that thinking. "Hello," Death says, trying not to sound uncertain. Death should not be uncertain. Noel places a hand on his wife's wrist. "Was she in pain these last few days?" "I don't know," Death says, shifting a little. "That was life. I don't know about life." The frozen moment that is the end of Irene stretches out. "Will you do the key thing?" Noel finally asks. In response, Death reaches out. They touch Irene's thin, almost translucent skin, and the light draws together just above the bedsheets. And then Noel reaches across and grabs Death's hand. Death gasps, too shocked to try and pull away. No one has ever touched them before. The light brightens and focuses, and then there are suddenly two small tin hearts sitting on the bed. Irene's is dark and dented, and the key is a sad, blackened thing. The other heart has not fared much better, but both it and the key still glint with a few patches of clean, shiny metal. Death stares. The second key is turning. Noel pulls the blackened key from Irene's heart, and then he lets go of Death's hand and grabs his own key. "Don't!" Death starts, reaching out. As they do, their hand brushes against Noel's tin heart. In that touch, Death feels something. Something new. It is strong. It is something from Noel. Something of Noel. Something of the years in between this eternity of frozen moments. There is laughter and tears and boredom and haste. A crying boy. A dead terrier. An accident. And a tall, hooded figure standing in the street, their feet in frozen blood. A young man, clumsy and blushing, and a smiling woman with frizzy hair. There is office work and stress and the grinding of seconds and minutes and hours, and there is a soft feel of lips on skin. Death does not know about life, but this heart is a roiling mess of it. It comes all in a moment, and Death gasps and staggers a little. It is so much. It is just a glimpse. They can feel it, so much churning inside them now. Noel pulls his own key out and jams it into the worn tin heart of his wife. The key shudders for a moment and then starts to turn. His wife draws a long, shaky breath and then fades away, gone from this frozen moment, gone back to life. Noel looks at the small blackened key that was his wife's and then holds it out. "Sorry," Noel says, but Death thinks he is not really sorry. There was so much in the heart, so much behind that simple action of swapping the keys, but nothing that would make Noel regret what he just did. Death takes the key. In it, they can feel an end, but it is not Irene's. Now there is a different feel to it, a shape that matches the life of Noel. "Noel Samuelson," Death says, 73 years, 2 months, 3 days, died giving his wife some more time. Death hears their own voice catch a little. They weigh the key in their hand, weigh the ending, and the nothing that is behind it, that will follow it. Death regards Noel, this small man who sobbed so over his dog just moments ago, so long ago. And Death looks at the battered heart, the small tin shape that still has a bit of shine left to it. Death bends and pushes the key into the heart, giving it a few quick twists. They have never done anything like this before, and are surprised at how easy it is. As they straighten, they feel again the laughter, the tears, and the years of hurt and hope that Noel has already had. Noel fades from view, the little man's mouth open as if he is trying to say something. Death hears nothing, but it does not matter. They can wait to see Noel for a fourth time. It will only be a moment or two, after all.